Good morning. Today is Monday, the 17th of February. My name is Chris Hutting, and this is the latest Risk Alert from the Center for Risk Analysis. Two items of housekeeping this week. I will be undertaking a trip to Washington, D.C. from the 17th to 23rd of March to meet with policymakers, lawmakers, and businesses. To book your briefing session following the conclusion of my trip, contact us today. And a reminder of our upcoming budget webinar, scheduled to be held this coming Thursday, the 20th of February at 10 a.m. Now, getting into this week's Risk Alert, we begin with leadership, management, and money troubles afflicting the Mkhonto we Sizwe party. Next, we examine contradictory statements from government regarding the NHI. Thereafter, we analyze the options available to the delegations and envoys that President Ramaphosa will send to Washington. We close with a look at ongoing water service delivery breakdowns in Johannesburg. The Mkhonto we Sizwe party's money troubles, reported on in last week's Risk Alert, could prove to be the least of its headaches. Strife between party leaders burst into the open last week. From emerging as the third largest political party following the 2024 elections, the MK party now faces the kind of money and management problems that could spell the end of the party before the 2026 local government elections. Last week, prominent MKP Member of Parliament Duduzile Zuma Sambudla, daughter of party leader Jacob Zuma, was forced to issue an apology after she publicly labelled the Secretary General, Floyd Jivambu, the quote, worst thing that has happened to the party, end quote. Ms. Zuma's subsequent apology was addressed to Mr. Zuma and the rest of the party's leadership, but failed to directly address and apologise to Mr. Jivambu. Only in a later statement, released on the 13th of February, was a direct apology offered to the Secretary General. Amidst the perception that he was quote-unquote parachuted in, and suspicions over his close ties to his former party, the Economic Freedom Fighters, resentment towards Mr. Jivambu has been bubbling under the surface. According to media reporting, there has been further strife between the party's chief whip, Mzwanele Mani, and its party deputy president and parliamentary leader, impeached former judge John Khlope. Mr. Zuma, the party patriarch, was reportedly dissatisfied with the speech delivered by Mr. Khlope during the post-State of the Nation address debate in Parliament. Mr. Khlope placed the blame on Mr. Mani. News 24 sources allege that matters became quote-unquote physical between the two at a party meeting on Wednesday. While not conclusive, the party's performance in a recent by-election in KwaZulu-Natal indicates that party activist morale is on the decline, that the regional leadership's eye is off the ball, and that resources are running low. In the May 2024 elections, the party won 54% of the vote in this ward. However, in the latest by-election, it won only 19%, behind the ANC's 30% and the Inkatha Freedom Party's 48%, an improvement from 29%. The IFP stands to benefit greatly should the MK party fold, especially in KwaZulu-Natal. Mr. Zuma's history and force of personality are the main factors keeping the party together, not ideology, party history, or party structures. Should he be ruled out of action, temporarily or permanently, the strong competing personalities in the party's leadership will vie with each other for a piece of the empire. The party will not survive such a scenario. Meanwhile, the ANC stands to benefit greatly from the weakness of its main rivals. It has taken the measure of its partner in government, the Democratic Alliance, and discovered that it is mostly harmless. The EFF have lost much of their senior leadership, including most recently Mr. Ndlozi, who has been pushed out of the party and joined radio station Power FM, and the MK party is showing signs of instability, as described. The ANC stands to benefit from these developments, and we will likely see a rise in its support levels in upcoming polling. The party could gain sufficient self-confidence to countenance a GNU without the DA, EFF or MK party in it, ruling as a minority government until 2029, in the expectation that it can regain its electoral majority then. The forthcoming budget, set to be delivered on Wednesday by Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana, will provide more details of the implementation of the National Health Insurance. Finding the funding required for the NHI is one thing. However, the implementation of the legislation poses a substantial risk to the future of the GNU itself. While reporting earlier in the month claimed that the ANC and DA had quote-unquote found each other on the NHI's implementation as part of the medium-term development plan and the role and existence of medical aids, the Health Minister, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, subsequently poured cold water on such claims. During an interview on the 5th of February, DA leader and Agriculture Minister John Steenhuisen said, quote, "There was a very clear target in the MTDP, which said that at the end of the five-year period, all medical funds would be collapsed into a single fund. That has now been removed from the draft MTDP as a project. That is in black and white." End quote. In a separate interview, Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation Minister Maropene Ramakgopa indicated that she, Mr. Steenhuisen and Dr. Motsoaledi had reached an agreement on the NHI, with the implementation thereof said to be made the responsibility of a ministerial advisory committee. The uncertainty and public back and forth on the NHI reflect the ongoing tensions not only between GNU partners, but also power struggles within the ANC. Should the NHI form a large part of the budget or of the MTDP, the DA's claim that it is exerting significant influence over policy will become more tenuous. Its case for remaining a part of the GNU will become more difficult to sell to its supporters. Mr. Ramaphosa continues to mull over sending envoys to Washington to calm the waters after President Trump's executive order on South Africa. However, any delegations that Mr. Ramaphosa might send should not go purely to preserve South Africa's access to the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, but should set their sights higher. South Africa's participation in AGOA is likely a thing of the past. An overriding focus on AGOA will cast South Africa in the role of a supplicant instead of presenting it as a proactive growth and investment partner on the African continent. Instead of AGOA, negotiators should focus on making a proactive, value-adding and value-increasing investment case for American companies. Details of significant reforms to labor legislation, moves away from onerous indigenization requirements, as well as upgrades to property rights protections, would do much to bolster South Africa's case. The GNU itself has a rare window of opportunity to set the country on a radically different path from the low-growth one that it has trod since 2008. Signals from various parts of the world, including the United States, Argentina, Vietnam, and India, are of deregulatory reforms, with a keen focus on investment and job creation. To follow their lead, the GNU will need to adopt a hard-nosed foreign policy and geopolitical stance premised on stimulating domestic growth while creating trade opportunities and attracting capital, as opposed to the insipid route composed of buzzwords and sentiment that has been trod up until now. Having been in office for less than a month, Mr. Trump and his administration have made clear their stance towards South Africa and will not go out of their way to receive South African delegations. South Africa's choice is whether to make the harsh but unequivocal messages to take the harsh but unequivocal messages on board and reform domestic policy to the ultimate benefit of South Africans, or to continue wishing that reality was different. And finally, red lights are once again flashing on Rand Water's dashboard. In a statement released last Wednesday, the entity that supplies water to the Gauteng metros of Johannesburg, Tshwane and Ekurhuleni indicated that quote-unquote storage is declining rapidly. Both Johannesburg and Tshwane are consuming more than agreed upon water with Rand Water. The former used 1,743 million litres on the 3rd of February, the last day on which the measurement was taken, against a target of 1,528 million litres. On the same day, Tshwane used 853 million litres versus a target of 752 million litres of water a day. Regular reservoir and pumping outages are exacerbating the stress on Rand Water's systems. Already frequent outages in large residential parts of Johannesburg put paid to the quote-unquote overuse narrative often put forward by municipalities. Regular and ongoing leaks are the biggest pressure point on water supply. In November of 2024, Rand Water indicated that of 5.2 billion litres it provided to Gauteng municipalities daily, 2.5 billion litres were lost to leaks, aging infrastructure and theft. That is all from us for this week. We wish you a successful week ahead and we'll be back with you next week, Monday morning at 7 a.m. sharp with the latest risk alert.